This morning, I wanted to share something that you might not have ever thought about, or you might not even be aware of it. The truth of the matter is, you and everyone else in the world came very, very close on multiple occasions to never hearing the gospel of Christ. I wanted to share a couple specific examples of that, where the only thing between the plan of salvation and you was the act of a kind friend, an act of faithful, loving, loyal friendship. A very long time ago, there was a king. And this king, like most kings, had a son who was next in line for the throne. And this son had had also another friend who happened to be the king's general. And this general was winning battle after battle for the king and just really expanding the kingdom and making some tremendous strides. And the son and the general were about the same age, and they became very good friends, and such good friends that they took a solemn vow before God that they would never let anything separate their friendship, that they would always remain friends. Well, unfortunately for the boys, the king, instead of being very happy about all the battles being won for him, he started becoming jealous. He started seeing that this general's success was, he felt threatened by that. The general's success, and he was real popular. And so the king felt threatened, and he became very jealous to the point where he actually started plotting against his general. He was going to have his own general killed. Well, the king's son, the friend of the general, heard about the plot, and he went in and he begged his father to spare this general's life. He said, "Look, he's my friend. I don't want you to kill him. Please don't do this." Well, the king's son almost lost his life because of that. But he remained a loyal friend, and he actually went and he shared with the general the plot against him. He warned him, and he came up with a plan that hid the general and ultimately saved his life. Well, by now, this story might sound a little bit familiar to you, if you're familiar with the story of David and Jonathan in the Old Testament, because that's what it is. You can read all about it in 1 Samuel chapter 20. And as you're probably aware, David and Jonathan, they remained loyal friends all throughout life. And David eventually became the greatest king that Israel ever had. And it's his family line, his royal line, was the line that God chose to bring Christ into the world. So Christ came from the line of David. So now I'm sure that Jonathan had no idea of the huge plans riding on his act of friendship and loyalty and saving the life of his friend. He had no idea of all those things. He didn't know that that Christ would be born through the line of David. All he was doing is he was being a faithful friend. But without this act of friendship, David's royal line, the line of Christ, would have never made it past the point of Saul's spear. However, there's another friend I'd like to point out a little bit closer to us, and without this particular friend, we would have never heard the gospel. You and I are all, as far as the Jews are concerned, we're all Gentiles. We're not Jews, so that makes us Gentiles. So fast forward with me to the New Testament and open your Bible to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 this morning. And I'd like to read verses 19 through 28. So Acts chapter 9 in the New Testament, verses 19 through 28. And this chapter is all about Saul's conversion. We hear of Paul. His name was originally Saul, and he was persecuting the church. He was persecuting the early church, hauling them off to jail, having them killed, having them stoned. He was a horrible person, really. But on his on the road to Damascus, the Lord came to him in a vision, and he became converted. He accepted the Lord as his Savior, and his life changed at that point. That's what the first part of chapter 9 is talking about. And in this part of chapter 9, he's just been saved. He had Ananias come and minister to him while he was blind from the vision for a few days. And now he's saved and he's starting to minister already. says in verse 19, "For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues, saying, 'He is the Son of God.' And all who heard him were amazed and said, 'Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon his name? And has he not come here for the purpose to bring them bound before the chief priests?' But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. When many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him, but his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples. And they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out and among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord." So this whole chapter is about Paul, okay, and his conversion and how he came to Jerusalem after he escaped from Damascus, and how he started his ministry, really, and how he's accepted by the leaders at Jerusalem. But there's one name in this chapter that's a very, very important name that I'd like to talk about this morning a little bit, and that is the person of Barnabas. Now, Barnabas, we first hear of in Acts chapter 4, which says, "Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." So the first time we hear about Barnabas, he's selling some land in order to benefit people in the church. He's got land, he's probably a wealthy man, and he sells some of that and gives all the money to benefit others. And I find it interesting that the early church, the early apostles, encouragement marked the life of this man so much that even though his name was Joseph, they started calling him Barnabas, which meant son of encouragement. You know, it's like saying, "Hey, encourager, how you doing, buddy?" You know, he would come and they called him son of encouragement because encouragement marked his life. It was just a huge characteristic of this man's life. So Barnabas, he became an early church leader. We don't really have any passages in Scripture that say he was a great orator or he had this persuasive power. He had this apostle status like the rest of them. He didn't have any of that, but he was a leader in the early church simply because he was an encourager and he believed in other people. I think that's remarkable. In fact, he had such good character that the Bible says he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith in Acts 11. There are only two people that are called good men in the whole Bible besides Barnabas. One of them is Jesus, and the other one is Joseph of Arimathea, who was the man who gave up his tomb so that Jesus could be buried. And there the Bible calls him a good man and just. There may be a third person. Noah was called a just man in the Old Testament, which the Hebrew might translate into good man. So two, possibly three other people in the whole Bible were called good men, and Barnabas is one of those people. So that's very remarkable. It says a lot about his character as a man, and it says he was full of the Holy Ghost, he was full of faith. And the church, when they had a tough problem, guess who they called? Because they trusted his judgment. They trusted this encourager because they knew that he would make the right decision about people. In fact, in Acts chapter 11, it says, "Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that rose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews." So the Christians that are scattering out of Jerusalem because of the persecution, they're spreading the gospel, but they're only talking to Jews. "But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now the Hellenists were people who were accepting the Greek culture and abandoning some of the traditions of their Jewish heritage, accepting this Greek culture. And so most of the Jews didn't want anything to do with them because they were abandoning some of those Jewish traditions. And so the Hellenists, they were you know, kind of on the outskirts of the Jewish society. But some of these people preached to them. And it says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people, and in Antioch the disciples were first called Christians. I find that interesting. Now, the people in Antioch, they actually meant that as an insult. They called them Christians, which meant little Christs. In other words, but they meant it as an insult. Obviously, we know today that, you know, we've accepted that as a label that we're proud of, and we call ourselves Christians today. But I find it interesting that if Barnabas hadn't gone to Antioch on behalf of the leadership at Jerusalem, we might not be called Christians today. So the leadership trusted Barnabas. He went there, and he encouraged the people. He said, hey, this is great. People are being saved. No, they're not acting totally like Jews, but they're coming to Christ. That's the most important thing. And so he went behind them. He believed in them, and he encouraged them, much like he did for Paul when Paul got saved. So in Acts 9, we see it was Barnabas who took a chance on Paul. He sort of put his reputation on the line. This was a newly saved man that just a few days ago was throwing Christians in jail. But Barnabas took a chance on him. And it was a simple act of kind friendship that ultimately changed the world. Because without the ministry of Paul to the Gentiles, in all the books of the Bible that Paul wrote, most of the New Testament was written by Paul. None of that would have happened if Barnabas hadn't stepped out and as a friend stood up for Paul and got him accepted into the church. None of that would have happened. We wouldn't have had half our Bible. You know, that's pretty remarkable. So without Barnabas, Paul would have never been accepted by church leadership. Without Paul's acceptance by church leadership, the Gentiles would have never been reached. And without Paul's ministry to the Gentiles, you might have never heard the gospel of Christ and come to know Jesus as your Savior. That's a pretty remarkable thing, all from an act of kind friendship. If you think about it, you know, Barnabas had no idea that all that was going to happen. He was just standing out for someone and coming behind them and encouraging them. But Barnabas helped others too, not just Paul. Being a true and loyal friend seemed to mark his whole life. Later in Acts 15, we read about Paul and Barnabas. They had been sent out by the church, actually set aside by God himself to minister to the Gentiles. And they had gone on several journeys and reached a ton of Gentiles. Doesn't really say much about Barnabas. It always talks about Paul, but Barnabas was there. He was journeying with Paul. And on one of those journeys, they brought along a young man named John Mark. Well, the going got rough. Persecution got heavy, and John Mark went home on that particular journey. However, later on, John Mark wanted to come again. He said, look, I want to try again. You know, I abandoned you guys, but I'd like a second chance. Paul didn't want anything to do with it. He said, this man, he abandoned us once, he'll do it again. I don't want anything to do with him. Barnabas, however, he stood up for him like he seems to be doing to a lot of people. He stood up for this young man, John Mark, and he and Paul actually got in such an argument over it that they split ways. And Paul took Silas and went his separate way while Barnabas took John Mark and went another direction. Now, the Bible, the New Testament of Acts, follows the journey of Paul and Silas, and we hear about them singing in the jail and how they reached the Philippian church that way and all kinds of different things. We don't really follow the journey of Barnabas and John Mark. However, we know that from later references that this journey was very profitable, at least to John Mark. Barnabas took John Mark and he discipled him along the way to the point where John Mark, who was mostly known just by the name of Mark, became a very good minister on his own. In fact, Paul later admits, he basically admits that Barnabas was right about him. In 2 Timothy, he's writing to Timothy, in chapter 4, verse 11 says, "Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry." So you think about that. Paul later agrees. He says, look, this guy is useful. You know, Barnabas had it right all along, so maybe Paul should have listened. But the other thing that I find very interesting is that without Barnabas' encouragement of Mark, we would have never had the Gospel of Mark, because that's the same Mark who wrote the Gospel of Mark. Think of how many people, thousands and thousands of people that have been saved by reading the book of Mark in the Bible. And all those people would have never been saved without the encouragement of Barnabas in Mark's life. So once again, you know, you don't really hear a lot about Barnabas. There's big deals made over leaders like King David and Paul. You hear a lot about them. You know, they did wonderful things. They did amazing things. But if you think about it, without the encouragement of this man, Barnabas, just his simple friendship, his standing behind people, believing in people, and encouraging them, most of the New Testament would not exist. You and I would have never heard the gospel, along with most of the world. Only the Jews would have the gospel, all because Barnabas believed in people. He was a friend for people. So how does this affect us? How does this affect you this week, next week, the following week, tomorrow? You know, as you live out your life, how does this affect you? What's the main point? And the point is this: you might not be in leadership. You might not have a huge ministry. You might not have, you know, a large church and lots of respect and adoration and big position in the church. But you might be able to do something that would make a huge difference in God's plan for the world. And you never know what that might be. There's something that you can do that a lot of leaders really don't take the time to do. You can just be a friend to others. You can come behind people. You can be an encouragement to someone. You know, just in your day-to-day week, you can smile at someone, bring them encouragement, you know, lend a helping hand. Just a simple act of encouragement can change the lives of thousands of people, as we've seen. And we've seen several examples, two examples from the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. How about a little closer to our own time? Someone you've probably heard of in recent times. Not very long ago, there was a Sunday school teacher. He wasn't the pastor, he just taught a Sunday school every week. And a little boy came into his class, and he'd never seen this boy before. The boy seemed a little out of place. He wasn't used to coming to church, and he was a little bit uncomfortable. Let me tell the story in his words. He says, "I handed him, this little boy, a closed Bible and told him the lesson was in John. The boy took the book and began running over the leaves with his fingers away at the first of the volume, looking for John. Out of the corners of their eyes, the boys saw what he was doing and, detecting his ignorance, glanced slyly and knowingly at one another, but not rudely. I gave the boys just one hasty glance of reproof. That was enough. Their equanimity was restored immediately. I quietly handed the boy my own book, open at the right place, and took his. I did not suppose the boy could possibly have noticed the glances exchanged between the other boys over his ignorance, but it seems from remarks in later years that he did, and he said in reference to my little act in exchanging books that he would stick by the fellow who had stood by him and had done him a turn like that." Well, a few weeks later, that same Sunday school teacher, whose name was Edward Kimball, he stopped by the shoe store where this little boy worked, just to get to know him better, to talk to him, and to come by beside him and be a friend for him. He ended up sharing the gospel with this little boy, and that day, that boy accepted Christ. Now, you've probably never heard of Edward Kimball before. He was just a Sunday school teacher, but you have heard of the little boy who got saved that day because of the efforts of that man. The little boy's name was Dwight L. Moody. He actually became one of the greatest evangelists the world has ever known, and thousands of people were saved because of his ministry. So never underestimate the power of a helping hand. Just coming beside someone and giving them an encouraging word, doing a kind act. The course of thousands of lives has been changed by nothing less on numerous occasions. Be a friend to others. In doing so, you'll be acting like the best friend the world has ever known, Jesus Christ. In essence, you'll be a little Christ. You'll be a Christian. So keep that in mind as we go throughout the week and encourage others that come across your path. You know, a simple kind act can make a huge difference. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your example of the ultimate friendship and how you've reached out to us. When we were unlovable and we're sinners, you came and you died for us, and we thank you for that. We thank you for your kindness and your friendship, the fact that you're a friend that never fails us. You never leave us and you never forsake us, no matter what. We also thank you for the friends that you've brought into our lives and the lives of others. Those people that are encouragers that have helped us along the way. And we pray that you would help us to become more like that. Lord, make us like you. Make us encouraging friends and loving people. Help us as we go throughout our week. Lord, help us to recognize the opportunities that you bring across our path. And help us never miss an opportunity to befriend someone and to show them your love, the love of Christ. And we thank you for this day. We thank you that we're able to think about some of the wonderful things you've done through simple acts of friendship. And Lord, help us to be able to do the same. And we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.